Welcome to today's podcast, It's Worth Considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you are not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We continue to discuss Sound of Freedom, based on a true story that reveals the true evil of child sex trafficking. It is not a feel-good movie, but a call to action. Christ tells us that darkness will not overcome the light, but the light must shine in order to repel the darkness. Yes, they are coming for our children, but not as you might think.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop. So when you look at the Disney movies, when you watch the new cartoons, you realize that these writers have an agenda.
Yeah.
And they're going after children and changing their mindset. I mean, we read an article last night that talked about, well, it was an article about the march of that was going, I think, in California. Was it the Gay Pride March?
And it was in New York City.
Yeah, and the writer was supporting the chant. He wrote in the New York Times, as well as taken out of context. What was that?
We are coming for your children.
Right, we are coming for. So what exactly was the context for that? Do you remember?
Well, that phrase was used a few years ago in a video that came out of, I think, San Francisco. I think it was something like the Gay Men's Glee Club Choir or whatever, where they kept repeating that line, "We are coming for your children." And people will say, "Oh, come on, they're just being facetious. They're not really serious. They're trying to be, it's for shock value."
And there's probably some truth to that as well, but it's also more than that.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if you're, "Hey, I'm just being facetious. It's just for shock value," you know, being a little edgy. And then you say something akin to that regarding African Americans, regarding Jews. No, I don't think that would get a pass, nor should it, and neither should this.
No, it's, you know, I think the biggest thing would be to give a pass, meaning that do they have the right to say it? You know, should you censor them? No, you should be outraged by it.
Right.
You should be contacting and say, "Listen, we don't want this type of parade going down our streets. We don't want men dressed as women saying we're coming for your children."
Well, and our public libraries are supporting it.
Exactly. And then to go into the public library and read children book to desensitize, or to, you know, the fairy godmother in Disneyland has a beard and a mustache.
Yeah, right.
You know, where little girls will go in and be made into a princess, and here they're welcomed by a guy who has a beard and a mustache.
Yeah, and at that pride event, so-called, that you'd mentioned in New York City, where "We are coming for your children," well, what else? You'll find plenty online there about that. One of them was like a guy about my age, 60 and overweight and kind of disgusting looking. Yeah, in his white underwear, literally twerking in front of a five-year-old to the glee of the parents. So America,
because
fast.
They're so open-minded and wanting to be so accepting.
Oh yes, yeah, that's the new
thing. How many of us would leave the front door of our house unlocked,
right,
to allow anybody who want to come in?
Yeah,
and yet people are doing the same thing by allowing all of this perversity just to come on in and say, "Listen, we're open and willing to accept anyone and everyone." You're crazy.
Yeah, it's bringing that up. Actually, I was sitting on the front porch, and my wife and two granddaughters were out in the front yard playing, and a car comes up and goes by real slow. He's staring at him, the guy in the car, and then they go to the neighbor's house and park cockeyed and just stay there, and it was very creepy. So what can we do about this? Okay, number one, awareness. Because even if situations like that come to you. Number two, like we're doing now, arguing, giving reasons, supporting what we think and why we think it.
Having the discussion.
Yes. And then number three, realizing the importance of ourselves being spiritually attuned. Because if we don't, we're talking about how many Americans have been propagandized to where they feel like the good thing, the right thing to really be a good American, right, is to celebrate Pride Month. And that can mean taking your five-year-old to the library to have a grown man dressed in this clown face, which I find to be just a mockery of femininity and womanhood, and twerking in front of your child. And I don't want to go into explaining what that means, but you could look it up. Vile. This is where we're at. And if we're not prepared spiritually, we're not watching filth, we're taking the time to read our Bibles, to pray, to be developed spiritually. If we're not there like that now, we too will find ourselves on this slippery slope to hell.
Okay, so what you describe, I'm going to just be honest here. Most people are going to think you're crazy. You're talking about such oddities that this isn't the world in which I know. And maybe it's out there, but it's really small. It's not a part of it. This movie doesn't. One of the pieces in which it's so instrumental is it says it's telling a story. You need to hear the story, and they focus on these two children and this guy who does this, because it is going to be the story, that the narrative that is going to get people's attention.
Yeah.
You know, like Uncle Tom's Cabin mm-hmm. was instrumental in the idea of slavery. When we look at the story and the narrative, we hear that about whose narrative is being spoken, because the narrative, that story, is what's going to direct our society. So which narrative are you going to be a part of? Are you going to be a part of, you know, listen to the stories of these children so that you are aware? Now, with that said, does that mean you have to be fearful? And the answer is absolutely not. There isn't anything to be fearful of, meaning that there is something you do in place of your fear. What is it? And you kind of mentioned that. You know, you're talking about as Christians, what do you do?
Yeah, number one, just theologically, know your place in Christ. That we, I mean, if you are, assuming you are, if you're not, that can be as simply resolved. It's called repentance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and faith. But, yeah, number one, to know who we are in Christ. So there's no comparison, you know, between God and Satan. Satan is a created creature, created in time. Yeah, a third of the angels fell along with him. Now they're demons. But it's no match, no comparison whatsoever to the being who created everything, who was timeless, and who presently sustains all that is. So this is not at all an even fight. And we have to leave ourselves up to God's sovereignty and to say, it is well with my soul, and to be humble, to submit ourselves to the Lord, and to realize we're not going to have answers for everything. Because for all of us, perhaps, there's something that happened in your life. Maybe it was horrific. It was awful. God, you could have stopped it. You saw it ahead of time. You had the power to do it. You didn't. Why not? Okay, well, you can take that attitude as a way to just hate God, which will just put you on the wrong side of the tracks here. Or we can accept the fact that, yes, God is sovereign. He knows all this. He saw it coming. He already gave the solution. He already knows when it's all going to be utterly vanquished. Evil will be, and things all will be set right. We don't know that. We can't know that.
So with that said, you know, well, we don't need to be fear. God's going to protect us like a put us in bubble wrap. That's not going to be the case. Many of us have already experienced some horrendous things, and we're still dealing with those as a fallout. And it's not as though God always watches out. He does watch out, but it doesn't mean that we're always protected from the evil that goes on. As a matter of fact, when we do nothing, we only are propagating or even increasing the probability that something bad will happen. So what can we do? Well, first of all, go to this and watch this movie. Be aware of the story. In a very powerful way, you said, well, read the scriptures. Make sure that your home is what it should be. And don't allow the filth that comes from the world to come into your home. And prayer.
Prayer is huge. So oftentimes we hear in the media, there's a school shooting. Well, our prayers are with you. And the news is saying, what good are your prayers doing?
Yeah.
We need legislation to curb gun control. And that's a completely different issue. But what they do is they minimize the influence of prayer. And so, well, how do you pray for things you don't know? You pray, your kingdom come.
Yeah.
Your will be done.
Well, and I know testimonially how powerful that is, because 1 year ago today, you know, you and your wife and family were here to be at my son's funeral. So he died suddenly in the car crash. And if I didn't have the attitude, the belief, the understanding with prayer and submission that I have, I could be a very bitter, angry person right now.
Yeah. So
God, my son, 28 years old, killed like that. Why? Why? It's senseless. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But you were prepared, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Tell me how, you know, only thing you can do is what God revealed to you. Okay, he didn't lay out what's going to happen, but he prepared you. Explain that to me.
Yeah, that's true. And that's not something that I would expect normally he'd do. And so even apart from this, one has to have the understanding, it is well with my soul. I submit to the Lord. I don't have to know. Like that song says, I only need to hold his hand. I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand, right? But no, I did get a heads up. And it was, yeah, I was sitting in the backyard where now we have a little statue of Joseph holding Jesus next to where we had the residual ashes of my son, because his you know, he came in and we had to put his ashes in an urn, and so I'd pour them out into the urn, but then, okay, there's still a little bit of residue on the bag, so I actually put water in that bag and shook it down, and I poured those very little ashes poured down into a hole in the ground where we had two nice plants there for my sister-in-law given at the funeral and the visitation, and statue of Joseph there. But anyway, that's why I selected that site to do that, because at that site I was sitting I think not even a week before my son's death, and I can't really, it's hard to describe. All I knew is there was a presence before me, and it's communicating with me. Didn't hear anything, but I have this definite realization, like, is it okay that your son, you know, is going to leave this world?
And what did you say to that?
And I said, Lord, your will be done.
Absolutely.
And then I ended up saying it as well with my soul, and my sister-in-law gave me a plaque that says that I have hanging up somewhere. And
you
then
could
I,
trust.
And then I walked into the house and I sat down while Dee Dee's working, and I told her, my wife Dee Dee, and I told her right away, I said, hon, I said, we have to be prepared for Micah's death. And so we did have a heads up, but whether you get a heads up or not, the point is the same. That we, because horrendous things like this are happening,
yeah,
like child pedophilia,
yes,
or like death or rape or, heck, what would it feel like to have your house broken into? I mean, people talk about how they feel so violated. It's very, yeah, it actually is very personal. Okay, we all have all kinds of awful things we have to deal with. So what's your attitude going to be? You know that Jesus is the conqueror and that he's going to come back and set things right. You don't know when, you don't know how, but you do believe. You can have that attitude, which I've chosen, which is why I'm a very, very thankful person who's been grieving this whole last year. Or you can have the other two attitude, and like so many atheists have, it doesn't seem that actually they don't believe that God exists. I had said in a philosophy class I was taking one time, it just seems more like Jean-Paul Sartre hates him. Not that he doesn't believe in him.
Yeah.
And the professor actually said, that's funny you should mention that. I wrote a book, and he was a Buddhist and an atheist himself, but he wrote a book called The Shadow of God in Jean-Paul Sartre. Because some of these people who say they don't believe in God or they don't care, gosh, they sure seem to be worked up about it.
Their their belief in God is stronger.
Yeah.
It really is, because their anger gives testimony to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't believe in God. Then why are you so angry? It's the fact that you do that it angers you.
Yeah.
If you didn't, it'd be like the pink elephant in the corner of the room that somebody tells you about. Yeah, okay. And you kind of chuckle. and you go on your way.
Yeah.
But because you do believe, your anger just is outraged.
Yeah, probably because you want to do what you want to do, and you don't want accountability. You want to follow that doctrine, which allows for pedophilia and all this stuff, the doctrine of, Aleister Crowley. I've mentioned it before. Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. That, in essence, is Satanism.
Yeah, it is. But when we come back to your story, and this is probably more in line with our listeners, those of us who know Christ and who believe in Him, it becomes difficult at times to trust Him,
right?
To say Your will be done,
right?
Because we have a hesitancy when we look at the world and see so many terrible things happening, and we ask, how can these things happen if God is as powerful and loving as He is? But yet they do, and He is as powerful and as loving as He is. What does that say about His will be done? And can we trust Him through the darkest of times? And the answer is, we can.
Right.
But that is the tough part. That
right.
is really the hard part. So when you get a sense that God's Spirit speaks or an angel delivers a message, are you willing? And you say, yes, Your will be done. That can only be done by the grace of God.
Right.
But He gives us the strength. And then when it happens, then we have to remain faithful to our commitment that we said we will continue to trust.
Yeah, exactly. So this call for trust is not a call for passivity and inactivity.
No, it isn't.
Because the only activity that's going to matter, though, is that is directed by the Holy Spirit. Because we each would have only our own little tiny little sphere.
So this is what we do to combat this worldwide problem that we may not be aware is in our own neighborhood, but we don't think it effective. Is that when we watch this movie and we come away from this and we look at the devastation that is in this world, the depravity of mankind, we get on our knees and we say, Lord, Your will be done. Whatever is going on, we pray for the victims, for the children, for the millions who are out there. And we're asking for Your will to be done. And we join Him in this spiritual battle that is being played out in humanity. And we're saying, Lord, Your will be done.
Right.
And those prayers are in alignment, in an agreement, in joining the forces of what God wants to accomplish.
Yeah.
So our prayers are not simply, well, we pray for you, and the media mocks it as so that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a whole lot when we realize who we're joining forces
with.
Yeah,
we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. This is demonic. So on the positive side, look what we're saying, Satan is no match for God. It's already a foregone conclusion. Victory is guaranteed. And so some of us might need to know that. But some of us perhaps need to know, you're not even aware that you are in a battle. You don't even realize that there is spiritual warfare going on now, that it is very real.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
And if that's the case, okay, then maybe what you need to realize, and let me kind of flip the coin here, you need to realize the kind of horror and power that is real that you are facing. Perhaps that you've invited into your house, maybe through your adultery, through whatever kinds of sin.
Pornography.
Maybe your
pornography is so prevalent.
Your cell phone. Maybe your Ouija board. Maybe whatever. Maybe curses being put on you from... if you have Freemasons in your family who are, let's say, above the 15th degree or something of the Scottish Rite, whatever, perhaps you, like we saw in that movie Nefarious, where the demon spoke through the prisoner and said to the lawyer who said, oh, look, I'm an atheist, I'm not worried. And the demon says to him, and that's why you're losing. You don't even know you're in a war.
You don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And Christians the same way.
Yeah.
We don't realize that we're in a battle. We're also contained in our own lives. And that's why going to this movie is important.
Yeah,
it's going to give you a perspective that you probably have not had, that you've heard about, but you really haven't wanted to look into.
Yeah, it's an uncomfortable subject.
And give you more purpose to pray.
Yeah, and you think about the kinds of you know, outrage, and perhaps rightly so to some extent, to some cases, whatever, regarding racial problems in America, right? Perhaps regarding policing or whatever. Okay, fair enough, you know. All right, now, you want to compare this to this slavery right now, which by the numbers is a whole lot higher, actually, quite arguably, a whole lot more horrific when you're talking about sexually molesting children and then often after murdering them.
True, but you can't compare, though.
And it's present.
But you can't compare.
No, the only way I'm comparing is just to say, where's the level of vitriol, outrage, public outcry, displaying it, you know, on the news nonstop every day for months and months. Where is that? It's not there.
Absolute point well taken. The atrocities that they're are bad. The atrocities that we're talking about are bad. You can't ignore any of them. They're
right.
All important. What
right.
The listener has experienced, and that personal setback or destruction of part of their lives or their childhood is just as important to God. Oh, he says, he goes, listen, guys, you think you got a bad list? What's going on here? Let me just show you. And he say, oh, that's a rational thinking that doesn't come from God. God
yeah.
concerns about the sparrow.
Yeah.
Okay. He's concerned for your suffering, but he also wants you to be concerned for the suffering of others.
Yeah. So by encouraging people to see this movie and talk about it at your dinner tables and with your friends and all, to raise awareness is part of the solution.
Here's so in my morning devotions, I talked about Isaiah today, and the king of was sent out to talk about to meet the northern. Or I should say Isaiah went out to give a message to the northern kingdom who wanted to come and to destroy, you know, Jerusalem. And God said it's not going to happen. And they're saying, but they're a pretty, you know, big force. And he says, this isn't going to happen. I'm going to protect you. So though it is a true battle that is present at your front door, he tells them, okay, I'll take care of this. And you need only to, and he says, do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs, because the fierce anger of these kings. And he tells them, be careful, be calm, and don't be afraid. But he says, don't ignore what's at your door. Just understand that you don't need to be afraid.
Right.
Unless I protect you, then you would have a reason to be fearful, but I will protect you. So when we look at what's going on in this world, when we go to this movie and recognize the millions of kids who are caught up in this because of adults wanting to, you know, thicken their wallets, we can pray, we can be active, but we need not fear. We are to remain calm. And we are not to be afraid, but we are to be engaged.
Yes.
To be engaged.
Out of love and faith.
Yep. So, excellent movie. I mean, it brings home a story, a narrative that needs to be told, and that we need to go and support it. Are we supporting an industry that will use the money to produce filth? And the answer is no. What we're doing is we're supporting a Christian organization, Angel Studios, that's produced The Chosen and some other fantastic movies, and then they're using this to show forth in the cinemas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So don't be afraid of going there and supporting. Matter of fact, I encourage you to do so because they need the support. The
yeah.
world has got to hear this message.
Right.
One of the points that they made is that this movie was produced 5 years ago. Every obstacle in the world,
right.
and not even of this world, was put in their way to prevent this from coming to the theaters, to tell the story.
Yeah.
And that's how things are changed, telling the story.
Yeah.
You know, we tell the story of Christ. We tell the story of the good news. We have to tell the story about child trafficking and in order for something to change. So.
Absolutely.
Hey, any closing thoughts before we leave?
No, can't think of anything.
All right. Well, it's good talking about this movie, and I encourage my listeners to make sure they go and see it in the theaters. And it will be out streaming, but I encourage you, don't wait till then. Go out now.
Yes.
And all right. Well, God bless you, Dan. Thanks for the time we had together.
Thank you, David.
Talk to you later, my friend.
All right. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the final in the series, Sound of Freedom. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with conversations that make a difference in our lives. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.